Since iTunes only keeps the last 100 episodes of any show, some of our show topics that seem to help the most people are no longer available when people search on iTunes. So, in an effort to make that information available to more people, from time to time we're going to re-air some of our most popular show topics. You can also go to kickitnaturally.com and search for any topic in our search box. For now, enjoy this show that originally aired in 2014.
T.C. Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor or licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here with T.C. Hill, author, natural health expert, producer, all-around nice guy.
I'm all-around nice, but I don't think I've ever been to the soup plantation.
Oh, well, you're missing out. They really got some good creamy broccoli cheese soup.
Oh, I do like soup, but
and cornbread.
I've never attended. Maybe that's why I have not attended.
Probably.
Maybe it's the cornbread that scared me away.
Yeah. If you haven't seen Tony on Facebook, he's all dressed up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I got dressed up.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen him dressed up like that.
He was forced.
Right?
Yeah.
Must have been the case.
He's giving Hottie Patati here a run for his money, huh?
Because I had a suit on.
Uh-huh. Mm. So, Will Hottie Patati Schmidt's over in here, too, in the house. Hey.
Hi.
He cuts his own hair, though. That's pretty advanced.
Yeah.
Oh. I don't think I could.
With one mirror. I don't even have a mirror for the back. I have no idea what it looks like.
Yeah, we didn't want to tell you what's going on back there.
No.
That's okay. It's all going to work out.
Okay, well, if this is your first time hearing us, I'm so sorry. You've been missing out, but you can always catch back up. We have all our little shows on iTunes and Stitcher.
Yeah, we mentioned some other stuff before.
Yeah, other shows. Probably about digestion.
Maybe.
And imbalances and things like that. But if you haven't liked us yet on Facebook, then what is the holdup? Go to Kick It in the Nuts, and that's where you're going to like us. And that's where we post our topics every week that we're doing on future shows. And you guys can ask any questions you want us to cover in that show, and then we'll cover it.
And suggest show topics, too. They do
that.
Yeah, give us some ideas. Yeah. I think next week we were talking about doing a show on Hot Wheel tracks.
Ah, cool.
Just because we ran out of stuff to talk about.
And then Operator, remember that game?
I did like that game. So
yeah,
right now it's between... Between what?
We're running out of ailments
here. Yeah, right. So we're going to do board games starting next week.
Cool.
Unless you guys give us some other ideas.
So, all right.
Get to
and
it.
Remember when we didn't even have a sponsor? Well, that was silly. So now Audible.com.
Audible.com.
Is giving all our listeners a free audiobook of their choice just because we say Audible.com.
You know,
Audible.com.
I really like, because I actually subscribe to Audible.com, so I feel good about them being our sponsor.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I got a few books on there, too.
Yeah, we can say we're actually using stuff.
Yeah.
So not many people can say that to have a sponsor.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. We actually use our sponsor. So to find the link, go to kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook.
Hopefully next week we'll have a sponsor that Parcheesi will be our sponsor.
Mm. Cool.
Or board game of the week.
Coconut oil.
Parcheesi is a board game.
Coconut oil.
Play Parcheesi? I know the word. I've just never actually...
We'll play when we're done here. It's fun.
All right. So today's show is... Postpartum depression more common today.
Yeah, so these topics kind of freak me out a little bit because I really don't like giving suggestions to someone who's pregnant or to women.
You should just calm down. What's the name?
I like girls a lot, but I don't like giving advice to women that are pregnant or are still nursing,
right?
Because it just freaks me out. There's so many things that can go on. And if something, you know, goes wrong with the kid when he's 8, it's because you told me to have lettuce that day.
Yeah, every supplement even has nothing to do with it. They're always like, don't take it if you're pregnant or lactate.
Right, because they just
don't want to mess with any of it.
So in this show today, we're going to give you almost no information whatsoever.
Well, just like definitely with the proviso, we always say it's non-medical. This is for informational, educational purposes only
stuff. Instead of having our sponsor mentioned every 5 minutes, we're just going to keep replaying the disclaimer.
Yeah. And I can see right now that always brings up postpartum depression. It always brings up like a mom sitting in her car with her kids about to run into a lake or something for me.
So
that's what you think about.
That's what I think about.
Where
like
you got
postpartum.
That from.
It goes straight to the end.
Wow. Yeah.
But I think it's an important topic to talk about. And I think the main reason is because, like, you hear that, like, 1 out of 5 women that give birth have postpartum depression, and that's a huge amount.
I get depressed just thinking about it.
Right, that makes me sad. But there's also another thing they call baby blues, and they say that, like, 80% of women that have kids experience that, and that's, like, a not as grown-up version. Like, a few days after birth, you can have some...
You realize you have to take care of a kid.
Blues. Oh, that's blue. That's different. That's not the same kind of blues.
No.
But and that can last for and that can be gone.
Years.
Yeah,
give her to the kids in
college. No, but that can last from a few days to a few weeks, and it's not such a severe thing, and it's very common. But still, with even 1 out of 5 women having legit postpartum depression, that's a lot. And the biggest thing that I think that we need to get the point across is that it appears that so many women are afraid to even talk about it or ask for help.
Then you're viewed as a bad mom or like, what's right. wrong with you? That's not natural for
you. You should be happy. They kind of feel like, I just had a baby. I should be happy. I should be so excited to spend time with the baby.
Yay, my boobs have milk in them.
Yeah, yeah, that's a weird thing to be excited about. But they feel like, what's wrong with me? So they end up not even explaining to people the situation or asking for help. And I think that's the big point that needs to get across, is that it's not you. It's not a personality thing. It's not, I mean, we can even talk about genetics too, but there's stuff going on that's causing this. And we'll kind of maybe talk about some of those things.
Yeah.
What if you just have an awful baby?
Yeah, you
just
could
don't
be
like the kid.
So ugly.
So disappointed in this kid I got. Yeah.
We had a post on Facebook last week, and the question was like, is my kid emotionally unstable, or is he just a jerk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be. There's some different things that look at this. So let's kind of maybe just get into some questions, and then we'll talk about some things that we see are common underlying causes of this. And when we talk about ways to kind of fix these things, we'll look at the most gentle possible way to do it. Nothing real aggressive, because it freaks me out.
Mm-hmm. Like, we'll just stay vague and
non-advice giving.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Well, even with my friends, like, they're pregnant, they'll ask me questions. I'll be like, I want you to ask me again when the kid has a driver's license.
Right.
And then we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, so let's do some questions.
Let's dive into these vague answers here. We're going to get LaTanya from Brooklyn, New York. I just had a baby and I'm not suffering with this.
So if LaTanya is not suffering with it, it must not be real. Yeah,
exactly.
We'll pick a different topic, I guess.
Well, aren't you perfect, LaTanya?
Well, I think this is a good point, because this is what confuses a lot of people. Like, you know, my friend didn't deal with this, and I'm a way better person than my friend, you know, so why is that going on? Mm-hmm. And so we want to kind of look at some of the issues that makes this come up. And we've done an episode on depression before that was really popular and still is very popular now, even though that was one of our first ones.
I think it'd be even more popular if depressed people were, like, more prone to leave
gung-ho
leave advice or leave reviews.
Well, couldn't the reverse happen if you are prone to depression but then you have a baby and something just like chemically clicks or something,
all
and you're
sorts
happy
of
as can be, you know, it just kind of fixes things. I don't know, maybe you're getting more of hormones or
that's
something.
That's a good point, because let's come back to that. Let's don't forget about that. Mark it down or something. Because first let's talk a little bit about the most common causes of depression, and then we'll relate that back to, I just had a baby, I've never felt like this before, why am I feeling like this now? And there's more than one cause for depression.
I know it.
You what?
I think I know it.
You think?
Low resources, low blood pressure, it all goes back to digestion.
It does go
back.
I
always thought you were just on your phone, not paying attention.
Yeah, here I go. 7 years of...
Right.
So, well, let's talk about depression and resources and brain signals and all, you know, stuff like that, just to kind of give a quick baseline of why does this happen to some people and not others. Not even getting into postpartum yet, but just basically depression.
Right. So, I mean, if that is if that is a big issue for you, you're listening, then like Tony said, we have full episodes on depression and anxiety would be really good ones to listen to. And then and then if those are also real symptoms for you, listen to our ones on digestion also, because they all tie in together.
Because when I was researching this a little bit, since I'm not currently pregnant.
Right.
And I've never had a baby.
And you don't have a...
Right.
We're sure about that. I used a clinical term.
Okay, hey, we just turned Kenna's mic back up, and now she's back on. But when I was researching this, we found that a lot of people with postpartum depression, it includes not just depression, but a lot of anxiety and issues like OCD and other stuff like that. And it just so happens that all of those issues can have similar underlying causes.
Yeah. So some of those causes that you just asked me to sort of talk about, but I deflected, was low resources, as Kenna pointed out so keenly, wittily earlier, where when your body doesn't have enough resources, either because it just gave them all to the baby, or because your digestion isn't working well, or because you really want to be a runway model and you don't eat enough, or whatever, or you're exercising way too much, and whatever it is, if your body's depleted, it starts to feel sad and depressed and anxious. It's like anxious because it's freaking out because it knows it needs resources, and it wants you to go fix that problem. So it'll put you into like an anxiety, fight or flight kind of state to make you go hunt and gather and get food and make that happen. But sometimes if your digestion isn't working well enough, you may even be eating really healthy food and it's just not getting to your body. So your body still feels hungry and feels anxious, and you'll have low energy because that food isn't nourishing you and your body's having to deal with all this unprocessed, poorly digested food, and that's sapping you even further of energy. So there's a lot of work that you might need to do tied in with digestion, as well as the amount and quality of food that you nourish yourself with.
Right, especially the quality, because a lot of the food that we eat today doesn't have the minerals and nutrients in it that our body needs. And especially with depression, we just kind of view it as a situation where the brain is not getting the resources it needs to function correctly. Like, in order for signals to travel from the brain through the body, they kind of have to bounce through minerals in the system. And when minerals are very low, those signals don't travel as well. And when the brain is not functioning optimally, it appears that we just kind of tend to a negative outlook. It seems like to have a positive outlook takes resources, which is kind of weird to think about that. But when the body is in that state of, look, I don't have stuff, I'm kind of freaking out, I'm real upset about it, it kind of reflects in how we're feeling and thinking and the life that we're experiencing.
It's like having money. If you don't have enough money, you're sad.
Right. You're, or you're stressed.
Yeah.
You're anxious. Uh-huh. So it's a lot of this stems from your body trying to pay $800 worth of bills with $16. Mm-hmm. You could probably get into a soup plantation with $16.
That would.
Oh yeah, yeah, that would cover a cost.
But then you might eat food that didn't have nutrients in it. Maybe I'm not sure how that.
But people sneezed on.
Yeah, in the salad bar. Yeah. So when we look at issues like this, now keep in mind that life can create depression. You could have had an issue that an event or some tragedy or something that has caused you to be depressed, and that's real and that counts and all that stuff. We're talking about people that are depressed and they don't understand why. They don't have a real reason. They're just feeling depressed.
Right.
And a lot of times when we feel depressed, we'll go and we'll talk to a therapist and we'll dig into why, you know, what reason do we have? And you're going to find reasons. Everybody has reasons that they can dig up. But the reality is that a lot of times it's a physiological issue that's taking those issues that you found after 27 sessions with your therapist, that you dug up from the eighth grade, from that time when Billy Humanstein smashed my lunchbox.
You're the topic of conversation in all my therapy sessions.
I am. Yeah. Right. I know. She calls me. She really yells at me a lot. No. But what we explain to people, especially in the depression episode a lot, is that Those things in life are real, but a lot of times in our mind, they're magnified because our brain does not have the resources to function optimally.
Yeah.
And if we can give our body the resources it needs to function, those problems still exist, but maybe they're only a 2 or a 3 on a scale of 1 to 10, and we have the rationale to process them and deal with them. What do you think about that, Will Schmidt?
I think there you can draw a ton of parallels when you look at your first book, Kick Menstrual Cramps in the Nuts, mm-hmm. or do you sell more Done with Menstrual Cramps, either way?
Kick Menstrual Cramps in the Nuts.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not completely the same thing, but it's very much the same thing to a huge, like, but amplified a lot when a person has a baby versus when they just have a period. Like, tons and tons of resources are going into the act of, like, growing that baby, but then also, like, in the act of delivery, there's so much energy that's departed, so many processes that the body then has to, like, go through to deliver the baby, but then transition out of, like, in trying to recalibrate now to, like, nursing the baby. So there's a ton of resources your body's having to give to rearing this newborn. It's not just that you just went through this incredibly intense birth act, but now it's got to switch gear. You got to hit the ground running and, like, feed it a lot, you know, with its best resources. So just understand that, like, if your body's already usually a little bit low on resources, like, it's going to be crazy hard to feel normal or good in this act of, like, giving all of your best resources to a newborn. So no, don't be hard on yourself if you're falling into that. Just know that you're going to need to take extra steps to, like, nourish yourself and support your digestion and support your metabolism. And you may still have some of those issues of depression, but the more you can do to help give your body resources and help it process those resources, the better you're going to feel.
You might even be resentful, like, this kid is sucking all the resources out of you, sucking you dry, and you're not left with anything.
Well, it's technically, medically, it's a parasite. Moms will probably get mad at me for saying that. But the medical definition of baby...
My mom's been calling me that for years.
Right.
But, like, if you don't have enough resources to create the baby, is that where, like, birth defects and things like that come from?
It's a possible thing. There's a lot of theories about that. But we do feel strongly that when a woman, like, starts losing her period or... she can't get pregnant, that a lot of times that has to do with a lack of resources. So Mother Nature's just kind of like, you don't have the stuff it takes to build another human. And if you tried to build another human right now, you would be left with nothing. So I'm going to shut that system down. So it's kind of like Mother Nature protecting a would-be mother that doesn't have the resources it needs to build somebody. But I really like Will's example there, because I bet that most women can look back to at least one period that they had where their emotions changed or their rationale changed. And Kenna's making, you know, jokes right now because she experiences that on frequent periods. But there are a lot of women that have their cycle and they don't have any symptoms. They don't have cramps. They don't...
And we hate those women.
Right. It's not fair. But... the reason that one person would experience that and another wouldn't is because one woman has the resources. And a lot of times it does go back to digestion, like Kenna wants to talk about. Mm-hmm. And because digestion is where the magic happens of pulling minerals and nutrients out of the food that we ate.
That which we resist persists. So that digestion conversation keeps coming up because I want to resist it.
Right, right. And so... But back to Will's example, you know, if a girl or a woman can look back and say, okay, I remember that time that I had that period and I just wanted to lie in the fetal position and watch old episodes of Brady Bunch and cry. So they can understand that's not my normal behavior, but it was just the body putting so many resources towards that it affected their emotional state. So now... let's multiply that by 49, and that's the times of resources that are going to go towards that kid becoming a human being, building that all those organs, all those tissues, his pretty hair, all that stuff takes resources. So when the kid comes out, the mother's kind of left with, oh, I have nothing left. And a lot of times that's what's causing that postpartum depression. Let's go to a couple more questions and we'll hit a couple more aspects of this.
All right, Amber from Clare, Michigan.
Here comes Amber's question.
I'm sure it'll go to imbalances, natural remedies, etc. But mamas know this. It's okay. It's okay to ask for help. It's okay to call a babysitter for help. It's okay to cry. It's okay to have someone come stay and take care of you. You're not alone. This passes. I need to hear that. I needed to hear that 11 years ago. That started to be like a poem there for a second. It's okay. Is the title of that
book. Is a haiku almost?
Yes.
You're all into it.
It's okay. I feel like Maya Angelou right now.
Yeah, I know.
It's okay.
Amber sends me poems all the time.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. But Amber's point is, though it's probably our least favorite point that we'll talk about in this show, it's probably the most important point, like, because we like sciencey stuff, because we're geeks, but I think that this...
Ask for support.
Yeah, this is probably the most important thing that...
Takes a village.
Any woman,
should know. If I have a baby, I'm calling you guys the babysit. Yeah, y'all. Nina's getting excited right now. Aunt Nina.
But what Amber's saying is that it's really important for a woman to understand that this is not her fault. This is not a defect in her personality.
It's the man's fault for getting you pregnant.
Right. It's the guy's fault, and we need to take... responsibility for that, and we're sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But if she can ask for help, then she can gain help, because
she can sleep, she can nourish.
Look
herself.
At all that stuff that goes into having a baby. You know, I had a friend that did an interesting thing that when she had her baby shower for the registry, instead of having "I want a onesie with Evel Knievel on the front," or you know, all that kind of gifts that a person gets, she made a registry of help.
I wouldn't go to that shower.
Right? You gave away, like, I'm babysitting this time, or I'm going to the store, and I'm gonna bring you
$100. Let's call it a day.
I'm gonna bring you food, or I'm gonna help clean your house or something. So she got all this help that allowed her to reduce the load in such a stressful time.
She lost all her friends.
Yeah, she doesn't have friends anymore.
Entitled.
Right. See, every time she sends an email, it bounces back to her.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Exactly. It's weird. It's like not working anymore.
But it's a good example of how to not be afraid to ask for help. And I
know
think
that the answer is going to be no, right. But you can still ask.
Right. So if women can understand that, okay, I'm not alone. I'm not the only person that's experienced this. And hopefully this episode will help them understand why it happens. Then it might be a little easier to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
Go, honey, get me some sea salt. Mm-hmm. You know, something like that. We'll get into that, too. Let's go to another question.
Susan from Charlotte, North Carolina. I've heard... progesterone cream can be helpful.
Progesterone
is a hormone.
Progesterone.
Stop.
Whatever. I'm from Texas. We don't know those kinds of words.
So this is probably an important thing to talk about, because progesterone is a big deal with a pregnancy, and like progesterone levels basically kind of rise throughout pregnancy.
Is it like estrogen? But it's, with pro in front of it?
Right, it's just like that. But that's, okay. So it's a professional.
All right.
It's just another hormone. Okay. Estrogen is one hormone. Progesterone is another. But by the third trimester, the amount of progesterone is way more than the person is normally making. Like, way more. And it kind of helps the pregnancy go along. And it's being produced in those higher levels by the placenta. But when a woman gives birth, you know, the placenta is removed. And so that source of all of that progesterone is now gone. And then the woman eats the placenta.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a weird thing that probably not many of you listeners are doing right yet. But Polynesian,
it really is
in Hollywood. And it's been that way for a long time with Polynesian cultures.
Tony will be eating bone broth and placenta soup.
Sauce.
Add that one to the recipe book.
From my understanding of what I've heard, I have not researched this a lot, but there is a lot of validity to it, and you know, all the resources that are in there, and maybe help the woman replenish a lot of what's lost. And
I'm sure,
right? But anyways, that's not the topic of this show. but a lot of times with issues that we talk about they seem to be blamed by hormones a lot. And we kind of agree that in these situations, hormones can go amok, but is it a problem with the body making the wrong amount of hormones, or is it a lack of resources and the body is jacking up hormone levels in a last-ditch effort to make things function correctly? So that's kind of how we view it, and if we view it that way, then the understanding of in the third trimester the body's making all this extra progesterone, then it might allow things to operate a little more smoothly. And if that were to drop off suddenly, then underlying lack of resources would show their head immediately. I don't have anything else to talk about.
Okay.
So that kind of helps us understand that, yes, there is a drastic change in hormones, but some women still have that drastic change in hormones, but they do okay because they have enough minerals and enough nutrients to act as like this buffer level, right, this buffer to absorb the drastic changes that are taking place.
Something else that acts as a buffer is wine. And I hear that now they're letting women drink again, like one glass of wine a day or something until like
while
their
they're
second
pregnant?
Or third. Yeah.
Interesting.
It's like it's coming
we're not,
back.
We're not advocating
I'm not
that.
Involved in that they are letting that. Women or whatever you yeah. say.
Oh, no. Yeah. Not these two. Right. Things I've heard on the interwebs
right.
have said that.
But yeah, just to like elaborate on what you said about hormones and people being really, it's really popular for them to supplement with them. It's kind of good to remember that hormones are messages the body is sending itself. And sometimes you may have like, glandular damage, like maybe your thyroid's destroyed or something like that, and you don't have a hormone that your body's supposed to make anymore because of that organ damage. But most of the time, I think you'd agree, Tony, the body's smart. And the body's like secreting,
smarter than we think it
secreting
is.
The right amount of hormones, unless you have, like I said, glandular damage for some reason. And to just manipulate it and to give the body commands by exogenous hormone supplementation or injection it's kind of hijacking the body's natural intelligence.
Right.
You know? And we'd rather do work to try to treat our body more like a good farmer. We give it the resources it needs and then let those smart plants like turn those resources into really healthy.
Right. We're not yelling at the corn plant because it's not plucking out a corn cob.
Yeah.
Now, that's not to say that there are not doctors that do good work with hormones and that you can't see improvements. There are some that really understand what's going on and they can very carefully monitor a patient and do some things correctly. But the most popular advice that you'll hear about postpartum depression is that you should use a progesterone cream. And one thing that I really don't like about creams is that you rub it into your skin and it absorbs. And then you do it again tomorrow. And the problem is that a lot of that gets absorbed into fat cells. And it can be leaked out of those fat cells at your body's discretion, depending on about 15,000 different factors.
So it can stay in there for a long time.
It can stay in there for a long time. A bunch could come out at once. So all of a sudden, this correct dose that you've been taking for 3 weeks, you now have no control over whatsoever. And it could be coming out at a much higher dose, a much lower. It's just, so I almost hate that method. It just, it makes me sad.
Yeah.
That and that's after the baby's born. That's for postpartum or like, is well, it
there's
with
women
the baby
that,
too?
There's women that use it with the baby because, they've discovered that progesterone does go higher during pregnancy. And if there's a problem with those levels, it can cause problems with the baby. So, sometimes they'll supplement it as well during pregnancy. But again, I prefer to see someone fix underlying causes. A good example of what Will was saying is like cortisol. You know, if someone has something that's causing a lot of inflammation or stress and it's raising cortisol levels, the raise in cortisol levels can also lower levels of other hormones. Usually when one hormone goes high, it causes another one to go low. They kind of have a yin and yang partner for each hormone, generally speaking. So, but that doesn't mean that cortisol is the problem. You don't have a genetic function that makes you go cortisol crazy. Most people are have high insulin levels that are causing the stress and inflammation, or they have a lot of stress in their life. They have other issues that are causing that problem. So when we're looking at hormones that are not functioning correctly, it's usually other underlying causes or deficiencies that are creating that problem, and you can fix those.
All right, Keely from Los Angeles, California. My friend had a horrible time with this. Are there steps to avoid it? Don't have a baby.
Ken is brilliant. That's good.
It's good sage advice. It is. No, I love babies. I really do.
I'd say a lot of them would be, like, what steps would be the similar things that we talked about when we recommended steps to correct regular depression and menstrual cramps in those episodes, where it focused on correcting your digestion first and foremost, and then taking steps to fix usually low blood pressure issues if you are experiencing low. And you might have had very high blood pressures while you're, or very stable or high blood pressure when you had the baby, but then once you've given birth, it might have switched a lot. So you want to monitor that. And usually things like extra salts, trace mineral drops, and eating in a way that helps you have stable blood sugar can help with these issues of depression.
All right, so we just hit a few topics that we need to cover a lot. So the first off is blood pressure. So if someone has postpartum depression right now, a really easy step to do is to look at their blood pressure and what kind of numbers are they looking at?
Well, there's the systolic, which is the number on top, and the diastolic, the number on bottom. And ideally, it should be somewhere around 120 over 80. But if it's low, like if anything under like 113 over 73, like if either of those numbers are lower than that, we would say that's probably a low blood pressure electrolyte deficient issue you might be looking at. So if your systolic is under 113 or if your diastolic is under 73.
Right. So that's a really good marker. And you don't have to go to the doctor to get a blood pressure done. You can get a blood pressure cuff at any pharmacy. And any woman listening now should know that there is a rule that when you're pregnant or when you have just given birth, you can tell your husband to go get you just about anything. And if he has any brain whatsoever, he's in the store before you're, I mean, he's in the car before you're done talking. So you just say, go get me a blood pressure cuff, or go bring me a doctor with a blood pressure cuff.
Right.
No, but a blood pressure cuff is, you know, $40, $50 at any pharmacy. And it's something that you can do at home. And what's great is if you have that tool, then you can kind of monitor what's going on. If there's a day where you're like way more depressed, then look at that. And does your number correspond with that? And then all of a sudden, things can start to make sense to you.
Also, like, I think she said something about, is there anything you can do to avoid it? Like, if you already know this stuff before you get pregnant, like, I mean, I'm a little long in the tooth, but I may have a kid at some point. And I know these things about myself already, so I'm trying to work on getting off the last bit of my weight, getting my imbalances fixed so that when I do have a kid, people don't want to kill me.
Right, right. So, or you want to kill other people.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you can also start taking steps before to make yourself healthier and to fix things and correct your digestion.
Right, so that's the optimal situation is to plan ahead.
Yeah, but a lot of times
ahead.
It's, yeah, you don't know when you're going to get pregnant.
Right, so. So let's look at a couple of very gentle things that a person could do to increase their resources. One is sea salt. You know, an unrefined salt is very good. And if you're living in that world where salt is still bad, you have to understand that that's a fictional world. Sea salt is a different situation, and just it's minerals that our body needs, especially if our blood pressure is low.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a very gentle thing that somebody could do, is just add sea salt to their food.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that mothers have been doing for a really long time.
Yeah.
Since before we had Legos.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
Was there a time before that? I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe. Doesn't seem like there'd be a purpose if there was no Legos.
So,
but another thing that I really like is bone broth, you know, because that's something that our great grandparents had every day, and all pregnant women had that, and breastfeeding mothers, they had soups, you know, they took a carcass and they used every bit of it. So they made soup out of that. And you got all of those. What do you get out of bone broth, Will?
You get a lot of collagen, which is a fantastic protein resource that your body uses to rebuild tissue.
So you can bet your farm you're going to need help with that once right. you just gave away all that.
All of your farm.
Right. Once you gave away your farm to this baby. And you're still making milk and all these other like high quality nourishing resources for the baby. You need extra support for your own self so you don't break down. So there's a lot of those essential amino acids in bone broth that are really bioavailable and perfectly tuned as far as like the ratios of amino acids in them
right.
to help you rebuild your cells. So
right. So I hate pregnant or breastfeeding women taking supplements. You know, I hate them. I hate for them to take supplements. Yeah, no. supplements just because it just freaks me out, like I said. But something that has that much nutrition packed in it,
yeah.
And just Google paleo bone broth recipe and you'll find a bunch of them. And sure. it's something that you can just make in a crock pot. And of course,
or your husband can make it.
You're just going to tell your husband to make it anyway. It's not like you have to do the work. Right.
Mm-hmm. It's like Ember's haiku. I mean, this is the time to take care of yourself. And like they say on airplanes, you know, put the oxygen mask on yourself before you do your kid. Put it on your kid because you don't have anything left.
Everything that kid's going to eat is probably going to come from you, too.
Yeah, and you will have nothing left over.
Yeah, bonus.
You don't take care of yourself.
Right, and another good point is that if you can do organic, that's always better. Why not use a something that is most likely at least higher quality? And it doesn't have all the junk that's going to create another burden for your body to have to deal with.
Sure.
Every one of those burdens takes more resources, so why not remove as many burdens as you can? Yeah,
and I think that's pretty scientifically proven now, that if you're eating animals that were raised with antibiotics, they translate to you. They
right.
get you. I think that's been pretty well documented. And then you got to take a step further. Well, that milk that you're making then is going to have antibiotics in it that's going to go to your baby, and then that's going to screw up their whole floral system inside their intestines. So like you want to be clean because you're eating for you and your baby, so you don't need to put those pollutants in there.
Right, and when you're, you know, when you have a new baby and all this new life is going on of, I don't get to sleep anymore, and I haven't put on clothes in 3 weeks. A lot of times I'm just going to, lunch today is a can of Pringles. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just that it takes effort to eat real food and all that kind of stuff. But if you're having problems like this, know that it's really important.
Yeah.
You know, your body's screaming for resources.
What you were saying about like eating organic and stuff, like I know that for me, like, when you get pregnant, that's the time you can get really fat and you can eat whatever you want and ice cream and nothing's off limits. But mm-hmm. it really is. I mean, if you think about it, because you've got to give yourself nutrients and stuff that actually makes,
yeah.
you know, resources in your body.
And I mean, I've heard some other like alternative health podcasts talk about how there isn't more nutrients in organic foods compared to like conventionally raised crops. And that's kind of true. The benefit of organic foods is that they don't have the antibiotics or hormones or pesticides and herbicides and things on it. So that's great. They're a step up. But then there is further you can go with food that does have much more nutrition in it. When you look at like what's called like hybrix farming, when you look at farmers that are growing their foods in nutrient-dense soils with the bacteria active in the soil, you can learn about this through my friends. Have a really great nonprofit called the Soil Story is the website, and they have a nonprofit called Kiss the Ground where yeah. they talk about nutrition farming, and that food is way more nutritious.
Right, that's serious stuff.
That's serious, and that kind of like if you're eating that kind of produce, mm-hmm. and your digestion's working well, you're gonna be pretty well off. Like your body's gonna have a
even
great.
Just not eating processed and junk though is a start.
Yeah, that's
is,
big. If yeah. you're still out in the Pringle aisle, yeah. there's a long way to go.
You're eating Twinkies just because you can get fat.
Just get out of the middle of the store and start shopping on the outside at very minimum. But the great thing about that bone broth situation is that cooking it for days in the crock pot like that helps extract a lot of those nutrients and put them in a liquid form so that your body doesn't have to digest them in order to use them. That's why it becomes this, it's a very gentle but very effective tool for someone in this situation.
Yeah, so we got salt, we got bone broth soup, trace mineral drops, we like those, not so much?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Oh, that's right. Something we use a lot with someone who has depression, right, that could help them lift resources, but I don't know.
How about our regular sort of digestive support?
I don't know. Still,
you might want it, maybe.
Molasses blackstrap or blackstrap molasses. Or,
that might be an okay one.
All right.
Right. How about the greens that grow on beets for liver support?
Yes, there we go.
Okay. So it sounds like
those.
Whole foods.
Cook them up and
because
eat them.
Pregnancy, like, as known, like, there's a whole diagnosis of, like, pregnancy-induced cholestasis, like, when your bile flow gets stopped while you're pregnant. And part of that is due to, like, all the cell die-off that's happening during that whole situation. But your bile can get really sludgy and stuck and not flow at all sometimes. Because
which may have a lot to do with the nausea that sometimes accompanies.
Yeah. So you may need to really focus on that so that you can feel okay. Because having your bile flow blocked will definitely make you have an off day.
Right. And we have a free 4-week digestion course at kickitonthenuts.com that teaches how to improve digestion. Not that we're recommending that you do all those things while you're pregnant or nursing. Right. We're just saying that that information is there so you can at least understand what might be going wrong with you.
And I've always heard like folic acid.
You hear that a lot, but yeah. It's a tricky topic. One thing about folic acid is that it's a pro-anabolic supplement, so it helps push a person into that building and repairing state further. But there's also some issues that people have with folic acid that I don't know how on board I am either way on that one.
Because you could easily be too anabolic with all, like, elevated estrogen levels. So,
right. But it is one of those things that they've been suggesting for every pregnant woman for decades now. That doesn't mean that's right for every pregnant woman.
Right.
All right. Let's see. Peg from Boston, Massachusetts. Is the lack of sleep that comes with having a new baby a factor? I bet it is. Because, I mean, if I miss 1 hour of sleep, I get mad.
Uh-huh.
I wake
up
yelling.
You know, the lack of sleep, now, of course, when the baby's crying, that's one lack of sleep, but a lot of mothers that are dealing with postpartum depression also have a hard time sleeping. Mm-hmm. And we have a whole insomnia episode that explains that, but maybe you could explain, Will, how a lack of resources can affect sleep.
Yeah, well, it's the same tie-in that we mentioned earlier when we talked about how low blood pressure relates to anxiety. Your body knows it needs sufficient resources to keep the show running, keep your heart beating, keep your brain running, keep your breath going. So it'll start to freak out when it doesn't have, like, when it starts to, like, detect that the fuel tank is getting low. So it'll try to spur you to action to go hunt and gather and forage and get resources back in your body. So it doesn't want you to just sleep your life away if you're on, like, your last couple, you know, calories of available energy. So it'll wake you up and try to get you to go fix that situation well in advance before you're actually going to starve to death.
Yeah, because your body doesn't know that you have that can of Pringles in the cupboard. It thinks you have to go out and find a zebra and whack it on the head.
Yeah, so you won't sleep soundly. You'll get up to go hunt a zebra or grab some Pringles. And if your body had better nourishment and it could make it through the night, then it would allow it to, like, stay in its deeper sleep states and rebuild and do all those things that are important for your mental health. So, yeah, definitely these interruptions to your sleep are going to screw with your mood.
Right, and the lack of sleep can also affect a body's performance as well, and that could affect a lot of things. So absolutely that's a factor, but let's give a couple of tips on ways to help a person sleep, because a lot of this... But basically, when sugar and minerals go low, the person is kind of screwed. They can't sleep that great, mm-hmm. Because that's when the body really freaks out. When minerals are okay, they can buffer low sugars. When sugars are higher, they can buffer low minerals. But a woman who just gave birth is going to have lower minerals, whether she's in a crisis level or not. They'll be lower in most cases. So if you're eating in a manner that makes your blood sugar spike and crash, that's the perfect formula for lack of sleep or elevated emotional issues and all that kind of stuff that comes along with minerals and sugars going low at the same time. Mm-hmm. So we like to see people, especially at night, that are dealing with a situation like this to eat some healthy fats and even some protein that's more like a slow log burning on the fire instead of twigs that are going to burn out mm-hmm. in a few minutes.
Mm-hmm. And salty stuff, like a salty soup.
Mineral rich.
A fatty meat would be like very nice evening meal.
I'm gonna have a steak right before I go to bed.
it's really great. I mean, if you can digest a steak with some kind of cream sauce, yeah. then you're really setting yourself up to have fuel throughout the night, and that's a good step to do. So you want to avoid having, you know, even if you're having a fruit at night, that can cause enough of a spike and crash, even though it's natural and healthy. That's causing a problem with your sugar levels. You want something that's going to not raise insulin so high so that when sugars come down, they're not crashing down.
What if it's not really it probably is physiological, but what if it's more of a stress of I'm not going to hear my baby if they're crying? What if my baby chokes? What if I roll over on it if it's in bed? You know, those would be all my fears. Like, I'm going to squash this baby if it's sleeping in the bed with me or beside me or something, you know, things like that.
They have toys for parents.
They have an app for that.
They have an app for that. Yeah. For don't roll over my baby in bed.
You just start like lullabying and rocking your baby like this little... That'd be a great crib, right?
So those are...
It's a rocking crib.
I think a perfect example of that is that, I mean...
Especially new moms. Like, you've never had a kid before, yeah. So you're like all scared of
You're all paranoid. Everything has to be perfect. Yeah. I'm going to... the kid's getting a baby wipe every time it goes into a new room where dirty air could be. So all of that is legit, but... If you're a new mom and you're freaking out about, I saw a star that was not in the sky last night. I don't
that
want
star
my
star is following me.
I don't want my baby.
Baby
to be abducted by aliens. So if that's the rationale that you're dealing with, then guess what?
You
have some low resources.
Okay. Yeah.
So if all those things are magnified to a huge level, then getting your brain to operate on a rational level where you can look at the real things that you should worry about and avoid the things that may not need to be so worried about. Consuming some type of fats, because a lot of people are still eating a low-fat diet because they think that's healthy and they want to be healthy so that their baby is healthy. And when people are still eating a low-fat diet, it hurts my feelings.
Yeah, it's like they don't even listen.
Right, we totally mentioned that on one of our other shows, I think.
I get it if your bile is still blocked and it's not right. going well, but...
But also, that's the information that's out there, is to avoid fats, avoid saturated fats, don't eat cholesterol-containing foods, you know. And so if you're living in that world, we have other episodes that you should listen to on, like, dietary fats and... cholesterol, and so that you can understand that those things are beneficial for you and your baby. And if you can adjust what you're eating and move it away from, toast with jelly at night and move it to something with some proteins and some fats that can sustain you through the night, then you may be able to sleep for 3 or 4 hours, which is, you know, what a mother should shoot for, really.
Yeah.
And a cookbook coming out soon with every mm-hmm. possible way to cook with coconut oil.
Right, right. That's coming. I still like my idea for a crib that rocks the baby.
Yeah, that's his good. Own little, yeah.
Like it, you could
yeah.
record the mom's voice singing to it. Like it just mm-hmm. activates when
Unless
it starts
you have a horrible voice.
Yeah.
Your baby's like, oh, God. All right, Janie from Danville, Colorado, California.
That's right next to my hometown.
Yeah, there you go. How long does it usually last? Like Will said, 18 years.
Right. Probably as long as you have low blood pressure and unstable blood sugar.
Right. And because postpartum depression can just roll right over into depression.
Right.
You know, it doesn't need to sign right. up again.
You've
for
got
something
18
different.
Months and then you switch to a new plan.
Right. Right. Yeah. So we're going to switch your meds now because it has a new name.
Right.
For most women, as they start to replenish some of their resources, it can... They say it seems to last in the first 12 months that most people will have come out of it by then. But
we should ask Tom Cruise, though. because he knows everything about postpartum
depression. Does he really?
Oh, don't you remember that whole thing with Brooke Shields when he said it wasn't real?
Oh, right, right. And she got real upset about that.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I guess LaTanya is going to be getting a call from Brooke later today, too.
LaTanya probably doesn't like me either.
No, but I think LaTanya was just saying that she doesn't suffer from it. She didn't say that it wasn't real. Yeah, there isn't an answer to that because it really is going to depend on the person, the level of resources that were taken away, their ability to bring in new resources, and are they doing things that will allow that to happen? Or are they just eating food out of a vending machine and out of a cereal box and stuff like that? So there's a lot of factors.
What if you had electrolyte excess?
Huh?
What if you had electrolyte excess?
Then you probably would not be dealing with this situation.
But would it be harmful to your child or
well, there's other problems that come with, you know, high blood pressure is what Ken is talking about. So if someone had high blood pressure and they had a kid, you know, would they just skate right through it? And who knows? I mean, they would likely have extra resources, but a lot of those resources could be filth.
You could still, you could still have metabolic problems that make you depressed. Like if you're insulin resistant diabetic, like you're still not going to feel happy because your body's still freaking out about where are my resources? Then the cells just aren't using it because you're insulin resistant.
But it's all in your blood.
It's just sitting in your blood, creating a lot of free radical damage. If you're like, well, my blood pressure's not low, I got tons of resources. I'm like, you know, and so, but if are the cells getting them is the
maybe
thing.
Maybe it'd be good to have a baby because then maybe your blood pressure
would
be lower.
Some people feel better.
But the idea is to have good blood pressure.
Yeah.
That's really what you want to shoot for and to have resources. So, but that's another thing with the low fat is a lot of people with depression issues they can't digest those fats, so they avoid them because they feel lousy when they eat them, or they're avoiding them because they hear it's the healthy thing to do. So if you can move towards including some of those fats, then it's backup fuel for your body when, you know, sugar goes low. Your body should be able to access fat and use that for fuel too and sustain you through the day.
Wow. Well, we answered them all.
We did. So let's review. And let's kind of look at, okay, what are the steps that if a mother right now is having postpartum depression, what are the first things that she should do?
She should first look at her blood pressure, see if it's low. If it is, take some of the steps we mentioned, like eating more salt and bone broth soups. Look at your
More real food.
More real foods, yeah. Look at your digestion and see if there's, like, if things are going well in that department. Like, is your stomach acid levels working? Is your bile flowing? And if it's not, like, there's some steps you can learn about that you might want to take if your doctor okays them.
Right, yeah. Right.
On our free digestive issues course at kickinthenuts.com. And then look at your metabolism, too. Like, see, like, are you ripping through sugars really fast? And is your blood sugar unstable? Or are you insulin resistant? Are you not processing carbs correctly? And learn more about how to correct those, like, fast or slow oxidizer imbalances, like, in any of your books. Like, the menstrual cramp book would be a great one to review also, because you can tie that over, like, that whole PMS symptom. You can almost, like, swap in the postpartum depression.
A magnified version.
Right, every time you read menstrual cycle or PMS, like, read postpartum depression, and then you apply all the information in that book to your situation.
Right. And the next situation, the next step would be to, you know, try to eat more nutrient-rich foods, more foods that are going to give you the nutrition you need. You know, another thing we never mentioned was, you know, a pregnant woman making that milk for her baby has to drink enough water to do that. But some of the recommendations they give for women, they're like, every woman should be drinking a gallon of water a day. And if you have low resources, you're going to be washing away the little amount of resources that you have by drinking that much water. Yeah. So you may need to find the balance of drinking enough water to be able to make the milk that you're making without washing away every, you know, mineral that you have that's allowing you to function.
And that's another point for fat. Like, mother's milk is mostly water and fat.
Right.
You know, so your body, your baby's body wants to run off of those fats. And if you're not eating them because you heard they're bad for you, like, that's going to be a problem.
Right. So fat it up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. For all our Kick It Naturally listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial so you can check out their service. Just go to kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook to find the link. And if you want to learn more about how to look at your own chemistry, you can read any of Tony's books or take the free 4-week digestion course at kickitinthenuts.com or head on over to Will Schmidt's page, mybodyofknowledge.net, and he's got lots of great information on there as well.
So the main thing is just remember, this is not your fault. This is not something wrong with you as a person. And don't be afraid to ask help.
It's okay.
Right.
In the words of Amber.
Right. Amber
so
said.
So she rises.
Amber is usually right. So listen to Amber. That's the theme of today's show. But just ask some help ask for some help so that you can improve your situation, because it is a situation that is able to be improved in mm-hmm. most cases.
Mm-hmm. All right, y'all. Go get pregnant.
Bye-bye. Bye.